Welcome to Through the Bible with Les Felder, a 30-minute walk through the Scriptures, teaching in-depth Bible truths that change people's lives. Now, here's your host, Les Felder.
Okay, good to see everybody back, and you've had your coffee, and my, you folks out on television don't know how these gals supply all the goodies for the whole afternoon. It's about like a banquet table back there, isn't it? And anyhow, we always thank all the ladies here. Now, you know, way, way, way back when we first started, Iris did supply the cookies and stuff for it, but it got way beyond her, and so now she's scot-free, and the rest of the gals have picked up. But anyway, if you're ever in the Midwest and you can hit Tulsa on a first Wednesday afternoon of the month, stop in and spend the afternoon with us, because it's so interesting to meet people from out of state. All right, we don't ordinarily push product because we don't want to think that we're doing this to generate funds, but we have a book. We've shown it on the program several times, and every time it's on the air, the girls come running into the house. Les, don't forget to show the book, because every time it's on television, the phone rings off the wall, and they're going out now. No kidding. People order 20, 30, 40 of them at a time just to give out. And it is. It's a good book. I didn't write it. Fell out in Indiana, merely took our stuff off the television program and comprised the book. So I really can't take credit for much of it, but it is. It's very informational, and I think it's certainly worth $11. It's not all that much, and that's postage paid and everything. We don't add handling or anything. So if anyone out there is interested in this, makes a good Christmas present, and just call into the office and the girls will get them out to you. Okay, get right back where we left off, and we're going to start where we finished, and then I'm going to jump right back up to the New Testament. So if you'll come back with me to Hosea chapter 5, the last verse, and going on into chapter 6, and then we'll have to jump up to Matthew 24. Hosea chapter 5. Where we left in the last program, verse 15. And again, I said, this is the Lord speaking through the prophet. And he says, I will go to the planet Earth and return, as we showed, to the Father's right hand, until they, the nation of Israel, acknowledge their offense, which now, of course, we know was the crucifixion, the rejection of his offer to be their king. But in their affliction, in other words, they are still suffering because of it, they will seek me early. Well, now, you know, it's been 2,000 years, but they certainly had no idea it would be that long. Now we jump right down into chapter 6, because you want to remember in the original writings, there were no chapter breaks. So this is still dealing with his having come, returned to glory. Now verse 1 of chapter 6. Come, now the nation of Israel is responding. Let us, the nation, return unto the Lord. For he hath torn. See, this is the coming chastisement that's constantly prophesied. He hath torn, and he will heal us. He hath smitten, and he will bind us up. Now, verse 2. This is interesting, and I'm surprised that hardly anybody ever makes reference to it. After 2 days, now we know that Peter says so plainly, a Lord, with the Lord, a thousand years is but a what? A day. And a day is like a thousand years. Well, I think we can legitimately use that here, that after 2,000-year days, he will revive us. Mine, isn't that exactly what we've seen in the last 100 years now? They started coming back around the turn of the century, and like the bones in Ezekiel 37, they came together, and wasn't long until the land became productive, and the nation began to prosper, and in 1948, they declared to the world that they were now an independent state, and since 1948, it's been nothing but an increase in their population and in their prosperity. And God has blessed them materially. But the future chastisement and judgment is still going to come because of all their unbelief, their idolatry back here. It's all accumulating. But nevertheless, back to the text in verse 2. After 2 days, He will revive us. He will bring us back to a spiritual entity. And in the third day, or the third thousand years, He will raise us up, and we shall live in His sight. Well, I think that's a reference to the kingdom, when finally they will see all the promises come to fruition. But before that happens, they're going to go through 2,000 years of sorrow and heartache and oppression, and that will culminate then with the great tribulation, and that's what we're going to look at next. What faces the nation of Israel because of God's wrath on their unbelief and their rejection? And we'll pick it up in Matthew 24. Now, we feel that Matthew 24 is all tribulation ground. It's the final 7 years of Daniel's 490-year prophecy in Daniel 9, in the middle of which Daniel wrote, this man Antichrist will go into the then rebuilt temple and will defile it, and will usher in those last 3.5 years, which are going to be as much hell on earth as the kingdom will be heaven on earth. It's going to be beyond human description. All right, let's just take the whole picture. We've got time. And start in verse 1 of Matthew 24. And this, of course, is toward the end of His earthly ministry. Verse 1, Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and the disciples came to Him to show Him the buildings or the complex of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, see not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And of course, that was fulfilled with the Roman invasion of 70 A.D. That's when that happened. All right, now then you move on to verse 3. As they are sitting upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to Him privately, without a press of any multitudes, just Jesus and the 12. And they said, tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of Thy coming and the end of the world, or the end of the ages? Next verse. And Jesus answered and said, now this is all appropriate for us, because I think we're seeing the beginnings of all this, even though we're not in the tribulation. Once in a while I get a phone call or a letter. Are we in the tribulation? Oh, heavens no. We're not in the kingdom either. Some people think that. No, Satan is out there alive and well, and the world is getting more wicked by the day. This cannot be the kingdom. But it's nothing like the horrors of the tribulation that's coming. I read an article last night, I don't even want to repeat it to anybody, of what somebody who has supposedly been in the middle of a lot of this government in the last 5-10 years, and when he prognosticates, I think that's the word, when he prognosticates what is coming, I'll tell you what, it's enough to give you goosebumps and shake you to your toenails, but I keep hoping the Lord will come before it gets that bad. But listen, it's going to get awful. The world is getting set for it. You know, I'm an optimist. I'm not a pessimist. I'm an optimist. Have been ever since I was a kid. But on the other hand, I have to recognize that our American economy is the proverbial house of cards. It could collapse in 24 hours. And if it collapses, I don't even want to think of what it's going to be like. You don't even have to try. You know it's what it's going to be like. All you have to have is a power outage for 12 hours and it's pandemonium. But what if it's nationwide? What if it gets worldwide? That's what the world is getting ready for. But as an optimist, I say it's not going to happen until after we're gone. But whatever. Here is a description of the tribulation, but the Lord is speaking of it in terms, and all we can do is say, well, if that's what it's going to be after it starts, hey, we're already seeing a lot of it being laid out as previews of it, see? In fact, some of my seminars lately, I've started out with the question that the Pharisees asked Him. And He said, oh, you hypocrites, you can look at the sky and predict tomorrow's weather. You know the verses. But you can't discern the signs of the times. Well, this is what I'm trying to get people to realize. We are now at a point where we should be able to read the signs of the times that the end is near. Now, we don't set dates, but we're getting close. And, of course, the number one sign of the end time is the nation of Israel. After being dispersed 2,000 years, they're back in the homeland. They're in the news every day. Well, it's screaming at the world that that's the sign that his end of this age is near. All right, so now then, back into Matthew 24, verse 4, Jesus answered and said, "Take heed that no man deceive you." Well, that should immediately stop you in your tracks. What does that mean? There's going to be tons of deception. And oh, we're seeing it. The TV is full of it. The internet is full of it. Most of it is total deception. Very little truth anymore. All right, next one. Verse 5, "For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, I am the Messiah, and shall deceive many." Well, now I read here a while back, there are something like 1,000 men, isn't it? 1,000 men around the world that are claiming to be Christ. And the tribulation hadn't even started yet. So you can imagine what it's going to be like. All right, verse 6, "You shall hear of wars, rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. Nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, famines, pestilence, earthquakes." Now these, we're just seeing the beginnings of it. But once the tribulation starts, they're going to be compounding day by day. All right, now verse 8. "All these are the beginning of sorrows," or travail, the horror that's still coming. Now, verse 9. "Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake." Now, that's Israel's future. The day is coming when they aren't going to just have anti-Semitism pop up here and there. It's going to be worldwide. It's going to devastate the Jewish people. All right, verse 10. "Then shall many be offended, shall betray one another, shall hate one another. Many false prophets shall arise and deceive many." That's just a repetition of up there in verse 4. Verse 12, "And because iniquity shall abound." We have no idea how gross it's going to get. Because you have to realize that even in other areas of the world, there are still decent moral people that are keeping the brakes on the outflow of wickedness. Even though they may not be believers, but they've got enough good sense, morality, that they still act as a break to it. But once the tribulation stops, that's all going to collapse, and wickedness is going to come in like a flood. All right. Verse 12, "Because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure to the end shall be saved." Now, I feel that that's physical, not spiritual. If someone has the wherewithal to survive all these horrors, and they're fortunate enough, they can come to the end of the tribulation and they're still living physically. And we know there will be. There will be a third of Israel, and there will be a smattering of Gentiles. So we know that there are going to be survivors. Now verse 14. "And this, the very gospel that Jesus and the 12 were preaching to Israel, that he was the promised Messiah and King. This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world." Now, I maintain this is when the Great Commission will be fulfilled. This is when the 144,000 young Jews will literally circumvent the planet. They're going to preach the same thing that Jesus and the 12 preached, and that is that Jesus is the King and he's coming to set up his kingdom. And indeed he will be. And so that's what will be preached. And it'll be a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. They're going to succeed in penetrating every nation, tribe, and tongue with their gospel of the kingdom before the tribulation ends. All right, now in verse 15 then, we jump up to the midpoint, and he qualifies it with the word back in Daniel. Matthew 24, now verse 15. When you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, and you see him standing in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. Let's know what he's talking about. Now, I think for benefit of our newer listeners, let's go back, honey. Let's go back to Daniel, and let's show folks what Jesus is confirming and what he's talking about. Because after all, if the Creator of the universe says it, we should be able to believe it. Daniel chapter 9. And let's see, that's verse 27. Yeah, Daniel 9, verse 27. Now, between verse 24 and 27, Daniel has delineated the first 483 years, which would take place up until Christ's first advent or his crucifixion, when he satisfies and makes the end of sin and so forth. But now comes the final 7 years of that 490-year prophecy, and here is where we get our teaching of the tribulation final 7 years. And Jesus confirmed it. And he, verse 27, and he, the Antichrist, this prince that shall come, will confirm or make a covenant with many for 1 week or 7 years. Now, logic tells us today that this is going to be a peace treaty between Israel and the Arab world. And finally, the Middle East will have a semblance of peace. All right? It's going to be a miraculous thing. No human element could ever bring it about because the hatred runs too deep. But when God moves in, even the Arabs are going to be willing to make peace with the little nation of Israel. All right, but it's going to be a 7-year peace treaty. Now here it comes. In the middle of the week, or the middle of the 7 years, he, the Antichrist, will cause the sacrifice and the oblations, that is, the ritual of temple worship, he's going to cause it to stop. Now I always stop there and I ask the question, before something can stop, what does it have to do? It has to start. And we know there hasn't been any temple worship for 2,000 years, which means that this peace treaty will allow Israel to rebuild a temple. Now, it won't be gold and silver and cedar like Solomon's. I think, personally, and it's my own idea, I think it's already prefabbed, standing in a warehouse in Israel, and they'll set that thing up in 2 or 3 days' time, and it'll be functional. It won't be beautiful, but it'll be functional. And Israel will suddenly be back under the law and temple worship. And in 3.5 years later, the Antichrist goes in and defiles it. And as we're going to see now in the remaining part of the verse, and in the middle of the week, he will cause the sacrifice and the oblations to stop. And for the overspreading of abominations, just to make it so horrible that the Jews can't stand it, he will make it, the temple, desolate, even unto the consummation, that is, the end of the 7 years, and all that's determined shall be poured upon the desolate or the desolator. In other words, all the prophecies concerning that final 3.5 years will be fulfilled. All right, so there's what Jesus is referring to. Now come back to Matthew 24 again. And now he's giving a little indication of what these last 3.5 years are going to be like. The first 3.5 are certainly no Sunday school picnic. Don't ever think that for a minute, because Revelation tells us that by the end of the first 3.5 years, 1/4 of the world's population will die. And that's a bunch of people. That's almost 2 billion people will lose their life in 3.5 years. But it's nothing like the second half. All right, reading back Matthew 24. Now drop down to verse 16. Then, now remember, Jesus is speaking prophetically to the nation. When you see this event, you hear it, you see it on television, that the Antichrist has gone into the temple and has defiled it, I think he'll be copying what Antiochus Epiphanes, the Greek general, did back in 300 some B.C. He went into the then temple of Israel and poured hog's blood on the altar, which is a good indication of what this guy will probably do. But whatever, he's going to defile it somehow, and it's going to infuriate the Jews. But Jesus said, don't try to fight them. Don't try to do anything but flee. Flee. Run for your life. All right, verse 16 again. Then shall them who will be in Judea flee to the mountains. Let him who is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Time is of the essence. Don't try to take along some heirloom or some beautiful piece of furniture. Get out of town. Run for your life. All right, now verse 18. Neither let him who is in the field return to take his clothes. Now again, we always have to bring Scripture up to date. At the time that Jesus is speaking, Israel is what? It's an agricultural country. They're sheep herders. They're orchard keepers. They're farmers. Very few were metropolitan. But now, of course, the working class isn't out there in the countryside. It's in the city. But it's the still wage-earning area. And so that's what he's addressing here. As field workers are now the scientists, the Silicon Valley in Israel, all the electronic engineers and all your manufacturing and all of the things that are associated with an economy today, they are instructed, leave your workplace, run for the mountains, don't go back home to your condo and pick up an extra set of clothes, you haven't got time. And so time is of the essence. All right, reading on. Neither let him who is in the field return back to get his clothes. Woe unto them that are with child, young pregnant women, and to them that are nursing. It's going to be a hard go for those gals. Pray that your flight be not in the winter. Now remember, at the beginning of the tribulation, they went back under the law. Temple worship. And what did the law include? Well, they couldn't walk over 3/4 of a mile on the Sabbath day. So the Lord takes that into consideration. So he says, pray that this won't happen on a Sabbath day or your religion won't let you leave town. Interesting, isn't it? All right. Pray that your flight may not in the winter nor on the Sabbath day. Now verse 21. For then, beginning with that midpoint of the 7 years, for then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world. All the way back to Adam, there's never been 3.5 years like this. Nor ever shall be. And then verse 22, except those days should be shortened. Now, I can take that word shortened and find enough Greek to mean that it's not going to go beyond 24 hours. It's going to end at the end of the 7 years with the return of Christ. It's not going to go a week over. It won't be a week short because God is meticulous in His timing. I've always made that. Same way when Galatians says, in the fullness of time, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law. Was it a week late? No. Was He a week early? No. He came on the exact day that God had specified. Well, same way here. All right. So then, verse 23, lo, if any man say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there arise false Christ, false prophets. That's, again, repetition. But this is the setting, then, for Israel in the tribulation 7 years. The first 3.5, they'll go back under temple worship, and they're going to be invaded, of course. Now, I don't know if I got time to go into all that or not. Only 3 minutes left. Hardly. But let me just take you back to Revelation for just a second. We can kill the 3 minutes with this easy enough. Come back to Revelation chapter 12. And now we pick up John's account of this escaping remnant, as I refer to them. In Revelation chapter 12, and the woman, of course, in this chapter is all the way through a reference to the nation of Israel. And I'm going to bring you all the way down because of our time. Verse 5. verse 5, the nation of Israel, the woman, brought forth a man-child. Now that, of course, is a reference to Bethlehem, who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. That's looking forward to his kingship. Now we come back to the time of his first advent. Her child was caught up unto God and his throne when God said, sit at my right hand. Pick it all up, back and forth. Now verse 6. The woman fled into the wilderness. That's the group of Jews we talked about in Matthew 24. And so the woman flees into the wilderness. We don't know where it's at. Some think it's Petra. I don't argue the point. But it's going to be some place where God is going to put them under an umbrella of safety. All right? She's going to go to the wilderness where she has a place prepared of God. Now, you want to remember, we're into the realm of the supernatural again. This is beyond the human element. God is going to take care of this fleeing remnant of Israel. The ones we just read about in Matthew 24. All right? And God is going to feed her there 1,260 days. That's 3.5 years. All right, now you come on down or over to verse 13. And when the dragon, that's the Antichrist, indwelt now by Satan, saw that he was cast to the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. And to the woman, again, this remnant of Israel, which were given 2 wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished. God will take care of her for a time, times and a half a time, or for 3.5 years. He's going to protect this remnant of Israel. All right, then I got to bring you all the way down to verse 15 and 16. And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away the flood. Now, I feel that's just simply a command from the Antichrist, the headquarters in Jerusalem, to send a military contingency after this escaping remnant of Israel to destroy them. And then the earth opens up, swallows the Antichrist army, and protects Israel. And then verse 17. And the dragon was angry with the woman, this escaping remnant. And now he goes to make war with the remnant of her seed who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. And I feel that's the 144,000. So the remnant will go into a place of safety. The 144,000 will preach the gospel of the kingdom.
Thank you for watching Through the Bible with Les Feldick. Through the Bible is a partner-supported ministry. If this program has been a help to your study of the Scriptures and you'd like to see others enjoy the teaching, your support would be greatly appreciated. Write to us at Les Feldick Ministries, 30706 West Lona Valley Road, Kenta, Oklahoma, 74552. Or call 1-800-369-7856. Remember, all programs are available in printed form, audio cassette, and videotape. Be sure to tune in next time to Through the Bible with Les Feldick.